the darkness. You know, it's a theme of the story of the Bible from beginning to end. It's in the very beginning, if you remember, in the very beginning of creation, right? We're told that the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. But we're also told that the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters, and we're told that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Light in darkness. Again, it's this story that's weaved all throughout Scripture. It's the way, if you remember, the way that God made the first covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15. You remember when God promised Abraham that his descendants would number as many as the stars of the sky and as many as the grains of sand by the sea? Remember that? When God sealed that promise, Genesis 15 tells us in verse 17, he says, "It came about when the sun had set that it was very dark. And behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between these pieces." Again, light in darkness. It's the way God chose to reveal himself to Moses in the darkest days of God's people. Remember the burning bush with the fire that wouldn't burn out. Remember how God appeared to the people after he rescued them. How he led them in Exodus 13:21. We're told that the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, but then also a pillar of fire by night to give them light that they may travel by day and by night. Again, light in darkness. It's the way that the prophets saw him, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, and it's even the way King David imagined him in some of the Psalms. And listen, it's the way that Jesus came. Jesus, whose birth was accompanied by the glory of the Lord who shone about the shepherds. Remember? It was accompanied by a star which shone brightly, prompting wise men to start their journey toward him. Jesus, who, when he came, said in John 8:12, that's our theme verse for this sermon series, Jesus who told those listening, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Our God, folks, our Savior is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. But you know, then we look around and we wonder, today, what happened? If Jesus is light, why is the world still the way that it is? Why do we still have the problems that we have? Why do we still have the darkness that we have? If you were here last week as I kicked this series off, I talked about, if you remember, the kind of light that Jesus is. We thought together about what it means for Jesus to be the light of the world. We looked ahead through the eyes of the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born, and we saw that the light of the world came to rebuild the ruined, right? He came to bring joy to the beaten. He came to free the enslaved and to bring rest to the exhausted, right? And last week we said amen, right? And we celebrated that, but then maybe you left last week and you looked around and you wondered, because there's still ruins, aren't there? We don't have to go far to see that not everybody has joy. And there are plenty of people who are still enslaved, plenty of people who are still exhausted, families who have been that way for generations. And we wonder, if God is light, and if Jesus really is the light of the world, where is he now? Where's the light today? Well, there's an answer to that question. And it's an answer that may surprise you, especially if you know yourself the way I know myself. It's in the passage that Brother Tommy read for us just a little bit ago. It's Jesus talking, and he tells his disciples that include us today, he says, "You are the light of the world." You. You and I, those of us who have chosen to center our lives on Jesus, those of us who are called Christians, we are the light. We are the light of the world. We are the ones who are bringing light into darkness. We're the ones bringing hope to the hopeless. We're the ones guiding, leading the world into a relationship with the one true God. Or at least that's who we're supposed to be. Because too often we're not. Too often we're not the light of the world, are we? Too often we hide the light out of fear. Right? Too often we look a lot more like darkness than we do light. Our lives reflect the darkness more than the light. Our words reflect the hopelessness and the pointlessness of the darkness more than the light. And we wonder why the world just keeps getting darker and darker and darker. We wonder that because we've forgotten our role as the light. Our responsibility to be the light of the world that Jesus says we are. The light that points people to Him, the source of our light. So what do we do about it? As we look at this passage deeper, I want to encourage us in three ways. As we think about what it means to be the light of the world. First, it means to remember. It means to remember that we are the only light this world can see. Jesus says, He says, "You are the light of the world." Right? This is different from the way the world often thinks about religion, okay? We live in a pluralistic society, and so, you know, there are a lot of folks who say, well, there's more than one way to know God. But notice the definite article there. Jesus doesn't say you are one light among many. He doesn't say you're my best option, right? No, he says you are the only light of the gospel that's available to people in darkness today. You are the only light of the gospel available to the people in your life, your family, your friends. You may be the only source of light to those who are walking in darkness. People in your circle. You are the light of the world. And by you, I mean you collectively, as in y'all, right? But also mean you individually, you personally. In fact, that's the way that Jesus refers to us, his people, as the light of the world. He compares us, if you notice, to both a city and a lamp. Both of them, that's important. Because, of course, a city is more than just one source of light. Even back in Jesus' day, the days before electricity, you could look up into a city and you could look up to a city on a mountain and you couldn't miss that city because of all the light that just poured out from it. There would be so many lights, lamps and torches and fires for cooking. Even from a distance of miles, you could not miss the city. A city was just, it was something you could not ignore, right? But then Jesus also uses the example of a lamp. A lamp, of course, is just one light, one source of light in an otherwise dark room. Maybe you're that lamp. Maybe you're the only source of light in the darkness around you. Sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? Sometimes it feels like you're the only one trying, right? The only one at your work, the only one in your family, the only one at your school. You look around and it feels like everyone else is stumbling around, just sort of chasing whatever feels right in the moment. Everyone else is stumbling around in darkness and you're just this tiny little lamp, just this tiny little light. And you want to cover it up. You want to cover it up so bad because it's just drawing attention, and it's not the good kind of attention, right? But if you could just step out of yourself and see. If you could just step out of that tiny little dark room where your light feels like it's the only one, and if you could go down into the valley, and if you could look up into the city where you've been, and you would see that you're not the only light out there, not by a long shot. There's a city. There's a city on a hill full of lights, little lights like yours, but when they come together, they cannot be hidden. It's the beauty of the church. Y'all, that's how this thing works. That's how the light spreads. That's how the kingdom of God grows. It's how churches grow. And look, it's not just you, it's not just me, it's all of us working together, letting the light of Jesus Christ shine through all of us. Yeah, it's easy to ignore one light, but thousands of lights, millions of lights, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. The work of the people of God all around the world, letting the light of Jesus shine through them, cannot be hidden. So don't cover it up. Let it shine. As the little song we learned in preschool says, this little light of mine, let it shine. Even when you feel like you're the only one walking in the light, trust that you're not, and let your little light shine. And that brings us to the next principle that we see here. Remember that we are together, right? We're the only light this world can see. And then second, understand that you must choose to let your light shine. You have to choose. It's a choice that you have to make. He tells us in verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Jesus' point is that as Christians, we all have light, right? We all, if you know Jesus Christ, you have the potential for good works because you have the Holy Spirit of God within you. Okay? If you know Jesus, he gave you his Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit who lives in you, you have the light of the gospel. The problem, maybe out of fear or maybe out of intimidation, the problem is that too often we bury this potential. That's, again, what Jesus means in verse 17 when he talks about putting a lamp under a basket. We bury this light within us through sometimes our own selfishness, sometimes our sin. We bury it by doing the things that we know we shouldn't do. We know it's not what God wants us to do. And Jesus says that it doesn't make a lick of sense to live like that. He says in verse 15, he says, look, you don't light a lamp and hide it. You light a lamp and you put it on a stand, right? You want everybody to see it. You want it to give light to the whole room. That's what light is meant to do. Jesus didn't light your lamp so you could hide it. He didn't give you salvation for you to hide it. Your light, my light, is meant to shine. It's meant to illumine. It's meant to demonstrate by comparison how dark the rest of the world is. You know this. I mean, it's common sense. You can't really understand the emptiness of darkness. You can't really understand just how dark a dark room is until you're exposed to light. In the same way, a lost world can't understand what true darkness is, what true lostness is, until they see how incredible salvation from the Lord is. And again, when a whole church does this, it becomes this city on a hill. This thing, this amazing thing that just can't be hidden, that can't be ignored. If we're that kind of church, look, we won't need signs on the highway pointing people as to how to get here. Because people will hear what God is doing and they will seek us out to be a part of it. If we're that kind of church, we won't need maps. We won't need promotional flyers. We won't need even online invitations. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're going to keep doing that stuff. But we won't need to, because people will see the lives that are being changed. They'll see the service that we do. They'll see the love that we have for this community. And they'll want to know how their lives can be changed as well. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Friend, in a church on fire, a church being the light, a church taking on its role that Jesus has given us, will not go unnoticed. It just won't. But it's a choice. It's a choice that we have to make to let it shine. So the question is, how do we do that? Well, again, Jesus helps us here. Verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Good works. Now, look, we know we're not saved by our works, right? It doesn't matter how many good works we do. Those good works will not be enough for us to earn our salvation. Ephesians 2 reminds us in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. What that means is, you and I, we've not been saved by our works. We've been saved by grace. We've been saved so that we could do good works. We didn't save ourselves. So we don't do good deeds. We don't minister to the poor. We don't minister to the sick. We don't help the refugee. We don't give to important causes. We don't reach out to those who are hurting. We don't do any of that so God will love us more, or so that we can elevate ourselves, people's perception of ourselves in some way, in other people's eyes. No, look. We do all of those things, and we do a whole lot more than that, but we do all of those things with joy because we're grateful for what God has done for us. And we understand that he saved us, not so we can just sit back and relax, but he saved us for a purpose. He saved us so that people could see the light of Jesus in us. And that's the third principle that Jesus shows us here about being the light of the world. Remember that we are the only light this world can see. Understand that the letting your light shine, that's a choice that we have to make. And then third, we let our light shine to bring glory to him. You see, even though we get noticed as individuals and as a church, even though people notice when we let our light shine through our works, that's not the reason we do that. Okay, that's not our purpose in that. That's not the reason we do the things we do. Matthew 5:16, it's one of my favorite verses in Scripture because it reminds me why, as a follower of Jesus, I need to choose to let the light of Jesus shine through me. It reminds me why I need to choose to do good works. Look at it again. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and know what a devout and holy person you must be. That's not right, is it? Wait, I'm sorry. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and know what a cool and progressive church you attend. What, no? Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and know what a great family you must come from. Now, of course, it doesn't say any of that, right? So often, it's those kind of things that motivate us, but Jesus tells us here, he says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Look, there are plenty of benefits to letting the light of Jesus shine through you. You'll experience fulfillment in life just by knowing that you're living the kind of life that you were meant to live. You're living out your purpose. And the way that God created you, your life will be more enjoyable that way. The relationship that you'll have with God will just saturate you to the point that you're just overwhelmed by his goodness. The people around you, it will tend to be happier. The church will grow as a result of your good works. But ultimately, the reason we let our light shine, the reason we do good works, it's to demonstrate to the world what God has done in us. And so when people see the change in our lives and they see how we're just different, certainly maybe different from the way we used to be, but different just from the rest of the world, they don't praise us. They praise Him. They glorify Him. And the light in the darkness just keeps on growing. The kingdom grows. And so practically, how do we do that? After all, we know that Christmas really is the best time of the year to talk about our faith here in just this part of the world where we live. It's the best time to invite people to church. Christmas is the best time to show the world what the light of Jesus looks like. And so, again, how do we do that? I want to offer you a couple of things. First, serve out of gratitude for what God has done for you. Serve out of gratitude for what God has done for you. Jesus says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Good works, again, that's where it begins. That's where the light becomes evident to people who are in darkness. As Christians, we should be the most generous people around. Generous with our money, sure, but even more than that, generous with our time, generous with our energy, okay? When someone has a need at our school or at our work, we're the first people to lay our agenda aside and step in. And when we do that, not for appreciation or for applause, we serve because Jesus served us. He gave us everything on the cross. And so we serve with that motivation. But then second, we give words to the reason we serve. Okay, you see, when we let our light shine, we can't just assume that people in darkness will understand why we do that, right? We can't just assume that people will understand why we serve. Plenty of people serve others out of their just own desire to be liked, right? Remember, we want people to see our good works and to glorify our Father in heaven, okay? In Colossians 4:5, this great missionary, Paul, says to the church, he says, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity." You see, when we serve, that opens up opportunities to share the gospel, share what God is doing in our lives with those around us. And if we're going to light up our world, okay, we can't just act like everyone around us has all the time in the world, right? We number our years, but the Bible tells us to number our days. You know, I've shared this with you before, I've never talked to anyone, no matter how old they are, who feels like life has just dragged on. Now, I've talked to plenty of people who are ready just to go to heaven because they were tired or hurting or just ready to be done, but I've never had anybody tell me, you know, life sure is long. Because it's not, right? Life is incredibly short. And it feels incredibly short because this life is not all there is. We are eternal creatures. We're made for eternity. But eternity is something that we have to prepare for. It's something that humanity has to prepare for. We can either go into eternity knowing God with the assurance that we'll be with Him forever, or we will go into eternity separated from God. And the only way to go into eternity with God is through Jesus. He is the only way. Jesus is the only option. There's no other option. That's why we have to speak up, explaining why we are the way we are, making the most of every opportunity to tell the people we love what Jesus Christ has done for us and what He can do for them. Why are we different? I don't know. I guess it's because of who we live for. You know, we serve people because Jesus served us. When Jesus died on the cross, He offered the world salvation. When He rose from the dead, He proved that, right? And now that we've accepted that gift, He calls us to serve others with His love. Have you accepted the gift of salvation that Jesus died for? That's the kind of conversation that we can have. We serve out of gratitude for what God has done for us. And we give words to the reason that we serve. And we can do that today. We can start that this week. We can let the light of Jesus Christ shine through us this week. Yes, there is still plenty of darkness. The world around us is getting darker and darker. But listen, don't you know that the darker it gets, the easier it is to see the light? You know that right now we're receiving our annual offering for International Mission Board, Lighting Moon Christmas offering. Last week I was looking at some of the resources that the IMB puts out, stories about what God is doing all over the world. If you get a chance, I'd encourage you just to go to the IMB website and just look at some of those stories. You'll be amazed at what God is doing. Because you know what's happening all around the world? The light is spreading. I read about Ari Che, who had a Bible study hosted by an IMB missionary in Southeast Asia, shared how God worked in her life through answered prayer. She said she'd been praying for her son, who was an alcoholic, who often disappeared from home for long periods of time. And when Shea began attending this particular house church, her son was in trouble with the law. Her husband said, "Look, if God performs a miracle and brings him back, look, I'll believe in Jesus." She decided she was going to hold him to that. Long story short, God answered her prayer. Her son was released from jail. He came back home repentant. And the Lord gave Shay the boldness to share the gospel with her whole family, and they all accepted Jesus. She also shared the gospel with her uncle who lives in Thailand, and his whole family committed their lives to Jesus. And friend, things like that, they're happening all over the world. Truth is, they're happening right here in these neighborhoods of ours in Bartlett through people and churches letting their light shine through service and through words, through their witness. The city on a hill grows. The light of the world expands. And look, today, if you don't have this light, it can expand to you as well. Let me invite you, if you will, just to bow your heads and close your eyes. Do you know the light of the world? Or are you still walking in darkness? In the beginning,